You are now tuned in to the Togetherness Podcast with your hosts, Albany and Dre.
The Togetherness Podcast with Albany Regan. I'm here live with Andre Harrison, and today we're going to be talking about an episode number 18, Dating with Children. Some of the things that you might want to consider before you start dating, you know, and you have children, some of the things that you want to actually take into consideration. I'm going to allow Andre to open up and just share a little bit about himself. And we welcome each and every one of you to the conversation. We want you to know that when you come in, you're welcome to join us. You're welcome to ask questions. And sometimes, you know, at certain points in the show, you can jump on live with us and have a conversation. Dre?
Hey, so Dre, I don't pretend to be a love guru, a marriage expert or a love expert, but I am a guy who failed at his marriage, went, got his master's in marriage and family counseling, and want to use what I learned to help other couples in hopes that I can save them from the divorce, a result of a divorce that I had to go through, hoping to build up and strengthen marriages. So now I help couples in a way that I wish I received help when I was going through what I do want to thank everybody for watching. In the room, we have Cliff, Shannon, So-So Steph, Kente just in the building. What's up, Kente? Badges, how you doing? Everybody watching on Facebook, Erin, Patty, Yesenia, Tamika, that's my god baby mama right there. Pablo, thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We're going to have an interesting conversation. And please ask us questions. If you're on, get vocal. Jump into the room. Grab a spot and join the conversation and ask us questions. Shannon's also watching through Facebook. She's the only woman I know that can be in two places at once. So, but yeah, that's my spiel.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Albany Riggins, and I'm a relationship coach and author, and I inspire spiritual introverted entrepreneur women to make powerful choices to connect with themselves and their partner to help build, save, and restore marriages. And I, too, in my life's journey, I went through many struggles in my relationship. I went through fears. I went through a journey where I was trying to find out what is the foundational pieces to help create healthy, strong relationships. And on that journey, I realized that hurting people hurt people. And I had to figure out what was the turning point to help people be able to make the decisions to be able to create some of the magic that you want to have in relationships. So I discovered that what it is that it's a continuous work, and you have to continuously make the choices and do the work. And sometimes you all, it turns out well, and sometimes it just doesn't, but you got to know exactly what you want for your own life. So I just want to encourage you all to just go on this journey with us as we go into this show about dating with children. And let's find out how do we date? How do we even begin to make the decision to date while we have children? So Andre, if you want to, you can open us up and just talk about some of the things that we're going to share today.
Well, today we're going to be talking about when is the best time to start dating. There's no right or wrong answer. Everybody's at different stages in their life, different stages in their dating development. So we can share some good practices, but it's sort of fluid. You may be in one place, somebody else may be in a different place. And based on your situation, you may be told two different things because that's how families, culture, dating is. So there isn't a cookie cutter way to approach dating with children. It really is a case by case basis. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And if you have any questions, if you are in a position where you have children and you want to put yourself out there, or you're newly divorced, or you just broke up with the other parent of your child, and you are considering dating again, this is the discussion for you. And if you know anybody that's in the same situation, please share this video with them. Ask them to join the conversation, because this is going to be a good thing. It may be a little controversial because everybody has different ideas. And again, there's not one cookie cutter way to approach dating when you have children or dating somebody that has children. But there are some things that we'll probably discuss that is pretty much concrete, and we'll get into that throughout the show.
Right there. I'm just messing with this camera over here. But I did want to say this, that when we talk about dating with children, what are some of the things that you feel like, hey, what is the big picture that we're trying to paint here for in the, whether you're the male or the female in the relationship, and you decide, hey, I'm ready to date? I was thinking that we have some type of purpose behind what we're going to do, because you know that some people date with purpose and some people are dating, they're not looking for a serious relationship. They're just looking for a, you know, just enjoyment and pleasure. So I think at the beginning that there's some things that we need to consider before we even decide that we want to have conversations or, you know, even communicate with our children's other, you know, parent, whether it's the male or the female, husband or the mother or the father in the situation, whether we want to discuss those situations with them before we decide to date. Are we dating someone that we are just dating? Or are we really in a serious relationship? And how should we move forward in that decision?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like that's why I said there's no like cookie cutter way. Some people may want to just be meeting new people and nothing serious. They may have kids in that situation. You really don't want to have your children in that kind of field. But then some people are looking to find something a little bit more family oriented. They want to have a more complete family dynamic, and they may be dating in hopes to marry somebody who either has children or don't have children, and continue on with family and develop a family. And that's where it gets hard. Yeah. And I'll open up. I've had women who were interested in me, but because I had children, mm-hmm. you know, said, and again, and I can't even fault them for that. Say, you know, well, yeah, I really can't get involved with somebody that has children. I don't want anybody with children. And that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to get involved with somebody with children. That doesn't mean that they're a bad person. They may have been in a situation where they were a single parent for years and their children are grown and they just don't want to raise anybody else's children. That's their prerogative. You know, that is their prerogative. You know, so there's many different situations and many different places that people are in their life. And again, there's no cookie cutter way, but we are going to have this discussion. Some of the things you may like, some of the things you may disagree with, and some of the things you just may jump on board and say, you know what, that makes sense. And hopefully we can have a nice open conversation about this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shannon.
Yeah. Shannon wrote, you and your children are a package deal. Some folks can handle that. Others can't. Different strokes for different folks. Your package is wrapped beautifully for the person you're meant to be with. I absolutely 100 positively agree with that, Shannon. I do.
I can say for myself in my experience that I dated a man. My husband was a man that was a single father, right? He had children in the beginning. And one of the things that I looked at when I began to consider dating him, I said, this man has children. And the one thing that I had automatically made up in my mind is that regardless of where he's at or who he is, I have to accept him and his children as a package deal. And everything that I did was according to what was the best thing for the children. What was the thing that I want? How did I want to set an example, not only being his girlfriend, but also being an example in his children's life? So it was like I wanted to sow a seed because I knew that they were going to be there regardless. So it was like already setting the tone that, hey, if this is something that I'm willing to do, I got to be ready to accept the children and be able to be available to them, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And So Steph says, I don't date men with more than two kids or more than two baby mama ex-wives. Okay. I feel you. And that's, again, that's everyone. Yeah. Hey, Shanita, thank you so much. Thank you for watching.
Yeah.
So,
multiple baby mamas. Shannon said multiple baby mamas will have you re-examining some things. Okay, so one of the things that, you know, I want to talk about, Dre, is that when we talk about, okay, we're going to date someone that has children. What is the first thing that we need to do when we are saying, hey, I'm in a serious relationship. I'm thinking about, this is the person. I've been talking to them for a while and I feel like, hey, I'm ready to do this now. What are your thoughts about, having children, and now you want to say, hey, I'm ready to introduce this person into my life. So for some women, they are men, they may have not considered even allowing that person to know the extent of their family, that their children, mm-hmm. and now they're ready to say, hey, I think I'm ready to make go to the next step and tell you a little bit more about my family, my kids, you know. What's your thoughts?
I think from the very beginning, I think that if you have children and you're looking to get serious with somebody, from the very beginning, you should let them know, I do have a child, or I do have children. From the very beginning, they don't have to meet them right away, and I wouldn't recommend that. But from the very beginning, they should know that. What you don't want is, after like 6 to 7 months, you guys are getting serious, and you want to make it more committed and solidify the relationship, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, and by the way, I got 3 kids.
Exactly.
Then it's like, yeah, wait, whoa. So from the very beginning, even the first date, because that's where you really get to know people, mm-hmm. you can say, I do have children, and you may not even need to know their names right away, but that's one of the things that should be spoken of in the very beginning. You got to give the person that you're dating a chance to say, okay, this is what I want. This is what I may like, I may want, I don't know yet, or this isn't for me. It was a nice dinner, great meeting you, great discussion, but I need to move on. You got to be honest to give that other person the opportunity to do that. Even though you may like them a lot. After you've established that, then you let the relationship progress. When it comes to meeting the kids, both parties have to be comfortable with that.
Right.
The kids as well. But the kids are resilient, and I'm going to parking lot this right here. Right. Some kids are not ready for their parents to move on.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that the parent has to stop from moving on. I'm going to parking lot that for a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Let's put that aside. Maybe we'll get back to that later. So when the couple who's dating, when they ready, mutually ready, not like one person is forcing it on the other, because this, like, and there's situations where I've spoken to couples and the person who don't have kids really want to meet the children. And the other parent, the parent is like, no, I'm not ready for that yet.
Right.
You know, they really want to protect them. That's okay. And then there's the flip side. When are you going to meet my children? When we have time, you know, when it's time, I'm not ready yet. Both parties have to be mutually agreeing to meeting the children and starting to do things from there. Shannon says on Facebook,
what did she say?
That part, kids can make or break when you date. A conversation with them about your journey is sweet and healthy for possible integration of a new human. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It should definitely have a conversation. We all go to parking lot that.
Yes.
We'll talk about that.
We're going to talk about the communication piece. We're going to talk about even, you know, the other parent, whether it's the father or the mother, whoever it is in the situation, that they have a voice in the matter. And I think that we're going to talk about what do we need to do as far as communicating that we're dating, we're beginning to date to the other parent.
Yeah. So, wait, say that one more time.
So we're going to talk about when we are getting ready to decide that we're dating, there's the other parent that we need to communicate with. So we wanted to make sure that we know when this is the right time to communicate and what do we need to have a conversation about when it comes to concerns for the children when you're dating someone else, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the main thing.
Right.
It's one of the main things. First is togetherness. You want to develop a sense of togetherness in your relationship. But then because they're kids, they have to be, it has to be approached with sensitivity.
Right.
And especially when it comes to meeting the parent, meeting the children, and then also having a conversation with the other parent. Like for me, if I was dating somebody with kids, I think it's important, or anybody dating somebody with kids, it's important to have a conversation with the other parent, because it could be very toxic. If you don't, it could be very toxic if you do also. But as far as doing everything on your part to make sure that the transition is as smooth as it can be, if you can somehow get the other parent on your side or let them know that you're not against them,
right?
You know, that's a big thing too. And also, if you are dating somebody and you have children, what you don't want to do right away is start complaining about your children's other parent, because then it creates a prior knowledge that they received from you, and they may go into the relationship not liking the other parent, and you're not giving them a chance to formulate their own opinion and being able to develop a strong relationship with them. Because it'll be dope if my stepchildren have two supportive fathers. It will be dope if my children have two supportive mothers.
And most people don't look at it like that. That's the benefit. Yeah. Right. I like that statement.
Yeah, it's a competition. You know, it's a competition. I know of a woman who doesn't have custody of her kids. And when her children's father started dating, all of a sudden she thought, no, I can't let this happen. I can't have another woman raising my children. Mm-hmm. And initially, maybe some of us have that kind of thought. And let's be honest, I think that's an honest feeling.
I do.
These are my children. Like, who's coming in and looking to raise my kids? Like, no, that's not right. Initially, that could be the case. But after self-reflection, after growing and developing some emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. that's my thing now, they'll see, okay, this may be a good thing. Now they have maybe double the support, double the love, and it takes a village.
Yeah. It does. It takes a village. And I think one of the things that you said, having a support system is the ideal that you want to create for your family. I mean, if the relationship didn't last, but you're in a relationship, you still should be in a relationship with the parent, because you have the children. And so what you should be trying to consider this, is just formulating a support system that not only supports you, but also supports your children the most. And having two people that's willing to do that, to work together, I think that is a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful experience. And to the fact that some people feel, I think it's a threat, more so of a threat of the feeling like, I don't want no one else to raise my children, or I don't want anyone else to be a part of my children's life. I just think that that's coming from a limiting thought. I think it's just limiting for you to feel that way, because I think that if the children don't have the mother and the father in the home, what better to have a support system on both sides?
Yeah. Yeah, and for the kids, if it's done in a healthy way, they feel even more secure. The more positive adults that a child has growing up in their lives, the more secure they grow up the more of a chance they grow up to be a secure adult. And I think that's the goal of that should be the goal of every single parent, to raise secure children that are self-aware, self-loving, they know who they are, they're secure in themselves. That's the ultimate goal of parenting. If no matter what your child does, my child could be a doctor, or they could be a shift manager at McDonald's. If they are secure in themselves, I think I've succeeded as a parent.
Exactly.
And if I have adults, my ex-wife's husband, if she ever gets married, my wife, if they have adults in their lives that are supporting them, that they have a stronger chance of growing up to be secure. And that's every other situation out there as well. I think we just got to put ourselves aside when it comes to that, and think about what's best for the kids.
I see a question that Ken asked. He said, what if you have a good reason to not want your kid around your ex's new boyfriend or girlfriend?
Well, I'll ask him, what is that good reason? What's that good reason? And Shanita says, I think that feeling is rooted in fear. Yeah.
It is rooted in fear.
Yeah. So Steph says, I've been through a long co-parenting journey. It's very complicated when people's new girlfriends who don't know you from a can of paint and don't love your child try to insert themselves. Some people don't know how to play the step-parent role properly. Right. The thing is, so how do we know that they're shady? So you get cheater vibes or Chester vibes?
You get Chester vibes, they say.
Oh.
What are they saying? Oh, they're talking about the pedophiles, the molesters. difficult. Now, see, this thing right here, I think it takes time that not only do you just release your children, but like I said, you have to form a great support system. So you need to get involved and understanding it and meeting that person also. Because if you are going to be leaving your children, you know your children are going to be left in their care. I think you yourself should take responsibility in getting to know that other person. And that you, and there's nothing that can say that you won't know everything. It's not, you definitely may not know everything, but you, if your children are going to be in their hands and being with them, I think it's most important that you spend time trying to get to know that person. I do know a family that they have, they're exes, and they also do dinners together. They do vacations together. They get involved in each other's lives because they want their partners to feel like, hey, we accept you, but we want to have a relationship because, hey, these are children that are involved, and we want to make sure that we create the best safe support system and honor our kids as much as possible. So I think it's important that just because you are in a relationship with someone and your the other parent has moved on, I think you still should keep that communication going and still play a very important part in their lives because your children are at stake.
Steph wrote, I don't want someone who doesn't love my child trying to discipline them. And I agree. Like, if I knew somebody didn't love my child, I wouldn't want them disciplining them. But one of the best ways to get to know if they really love your child is sort of having some kind of interaction with them. You can't meet somebody in the first time and then say, yeah, I don't like you. So, you possibly can't love my child because I don't like you. So I think we have to just go through it, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
But this is an experience that I've had myself. Dating early with children, blended family.
No, it's not. Definitely not.
It's not as easy to have a blended family because one of the things you do realize you do have to get to know the other person. But know your children also, because sometimes the children may play the role with the parent. And you have to understand that your children sometimes do things and say things that are not so true. So really, you can't just go in blindsided and thinking, well, my kids are telling me this and my kids are telling me that. You really got to get in and have a good relationship with that person to even see what kind of character, you know, see what their character is like, see what their personality is like, see what kind of values they have to even be able to make that kind of judgment. Because I personally did go through that. I know my stepchildren, they, you know, they were kids. They were just being kids. But there were times when they said things that weren't true because they felt like, hey, if I do this, then somebody else will believe me and I can have my way. So we just have to be very careful about it.
Yeah. My ex, and I'll be open for a little bit. My ex-wife, would take the kids on the weekends, and she was living with her boyfriend at the time. And, I didn't know him at first, right? And I was trusting that she would have protected the kids if anything did happen. And it got to the point where him and I never had a close relationship. It just never happened. But I trusted him with my kids. You know, he may not have liked me very much, but I knew that, you know, if anything happened, he was going to protect my kids. I didn't need him to like me. I didn't need him to have any conversations with me. I did know, though, that if they were in his care, they were good. They were taken care of. They were protected. They were provided for. And I respect him for that. Always will respect him for that to this day. I'm not sure if they're together anymore, but I would always respect him for that because I knew that they had that support over there. And even sometimes my kids would try to play, you know, both sides. And I would have to, you know, call up and say, listen, Put on my bass dad voice. Yeah. Yo, what's going on? Like, yo, what my kids telling me, you know? And then he would have to explain. And then I have to say, okay, that makes sense. Talk to the kids, you know, and try to handle it that way instead of flying off the handle. Exactly. And I tell you, like, even till this day, like it could be 5 years from now and him and my ex-wife could never speak. And if he calls me up and say, hey, I was thinking about the kids. Can I come and see it? I'm going to be like, yeah, come through, you know? Come hang out with them. That's cool.
That's good.
But
that's a great example.
No, bro, I'm not intimidating at all. I could be.
So, who is it? Is it possible E.T. said, is it possible to know any person because it's impossible to mind read? No, man, you can't mind read. And especially when it comes to the safety of your children, you can't mind read. You've got to spend some time with a person. And it's certain things that you will know just by meeting a person. Their presence will kind of tell you what kind of person they are from a surface level. But to really get to know a person and say, hey, I'm going to leave my children with you, you got to spend some time with them. You really do. I think that you really need to spend some time with them, whether it is just having dinner a few nights and just kind of like just laid back, actually listen and be aware of the things and the conversations that are coming out of this person's mouth. You'll know if this is somebody that you would trust with your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, that's the whole beautiful thing about the dating process and not allowing your kids to be in it at first. And I think one of the things that would benefit is if, and this is a tough one, again, like I said, there's no cookie cut away, this would benefit is if you have a decent relationship, co-parenting relationship with your ex. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. But if you know that, you guys still support each other in regards to the children's safety, when you both date, you both are dating, understanding that, my children's safety is first and foremost. So I'm not going to allow myself to fall for somebody that gives me those Chester vibes or those creepy vibes.
Exactly.
And I'm going to trust the judgment of my kid's other parent if they have something to say, especially if they don't have jealousy or if they moved on, things like that. But don't bring your raggedy girlfriend around my kid. But then if that's your position, then you shouldn't bring your boyfriend around your kids either. It's got to go both ways.
But I would like to say, why is it that you feel the way you do? Why do you feel like she's raggedy or he's raggedy or however? Is something that has happened in the beginning for you to feel like, I don't want this person around my child? And that's when you need to have that conversation with your partner and that person. All three of y'all need to sit down and have a conversation. It's about the best interest of the children. It's not about the two parents that have a difference about the other spouse. And if we can eliminate our feelings out of, well, this person may have interrupted my relationship and now they're the or soon to be stepmother, they dated my partner issues out of it, we can really co-parent and have a great blended family that supports the children in a better way.
Yeah. And what if they get married?
Exactly.
Then they're not the raggedy girlfriend, they're the raggedy wife. Can the raggedy wife be around your kids?
She's gonna be there for a long time.
Yeah. So again, it's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people when it comes to families and dating with kids, and it has a lot of weight to it. I'm sorry, Albany.
E.T. was saying that many humans start living their fantasies in real life in the main, close second is money, three is violence. Okay. So E.T., I think he's just talking about how we begin to live our lives very, very, we get involved very quickly or something to that nature.
Yeah.
And in a second, it's money, then it's violence, and it's a whole bunch of things that's mixed together, but when we're going to go this route, we're going to be separated from the other parent of the child. I think that we need to begin to even have conversations early about setting healthy boundaries. I think the two parents need to sit down and say, hey, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable for our children? Let's have that conversation. Let's say, hey, this is something that I am willing to accept, that this is okay. You're ready today. Okay, so if you're ready today, let's just talk about when do you think is a right time for this person to meet our children? How are we going to explain to our children that, hey, mommy is ready to start dating again, or daddy is dating again, having those conversations? And it does vary upon age for your children, but we have to keep the heart of the children before us because they are going to be affected to some degree.
Somebody wrote, my son's dad had a girlfriend go to court to testify against me, saying I was a horrible mother and wouldn't let my son Skype with his dad. You can miss me with this pie in the sky view. I could probably make an assumption, a safe assumption based on that, and say that you and your son's father probably don't have the best relationship or co-parenting relationship. Right. I could be wrong. But again, that's why I said in the beginning, complaining to your girlfriend or boyfriend, whoever you're dating, about your children's mother or father mm-hmm. could, you know, really be a bad thing.
I think that you should stay.
Well, I don't know how long ago that was, though, Steph. So you said that you had co-parenting counseling with a forensic psychologist for a year. I don't know if that was like, you know, 5 years ago or last year. So, but, you know, even though you have go through co-parenting counseling, doesn't mean that it was a bad situation. I think everybody should, you know, go through some kind of counseling sometime in their life. And I think co-parenting counseling would be healthy for anybody, even if they are in a healthy situation.
She revised.
Yeah, what's that?
So Steph said, I said we had co-parenting counseling with a forensic psychologist, she said.
Yeah. She recused herself from the case because she was too crazy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But how are you guys now? So now that the case is over. How are you guys now? And I'm not talking about the girlfriend at this present. He's...
Oh, she's wow. dead.
Mm. Okay.
Well, all right. We don't want to.
Yeah. My secret is no secret. Just be truthful and not hurt here. Just love and respect here. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Like, is he, he's dead to you or he's deceased?
He actually died.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's
kind of sad. Yeah. How are you feeling about that? And how does that affect? And you don't have to answer, because. Right. But has that affected your son? And with that, like, how would your son feel about you dating again?
My son misses him. He loves him. I'm relieved.
Do you think that this would affect?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you think that this will affect him as he grows older? Because you know, like, I know how you may be relieved. You may be relieved, but when we think about what's best for your son, yeah. How do you think he could move past this, heal, and then grow from this? Yeah.
And
like, I'm like,
my son is counseling. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, I'm like hurt now. Like, I can't, my heart is hurting right now.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, because we see this all the time. You have these relationships, yeah. And the children do grow closer to the people that's in their life, whether you like it or not. They are creating a relationship, and their feelings are very much involved in that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but again, in an ideal world, you have two parents that are have a decent co-parenting relationship, and also in an ideal world, you're dating and getting to know somebody, and in that process, learning whether or not this person can be trusted with your kids when it's time to meet them. Oh yeah, no doubt. Things are very complicated. That's why we're having this conversation. If it wasn't an issue, we would not be talking about it.
You exactly. Know?
It's a very complicated thing. Yeah, very complicated.
And you know, it's a learning process. I don't think that there's anybody that has really perfected. I think that it's different strokes for different folks. And your children, everyone's child is different. They experience things different. So we just have to take it one day at a time and just discover what's the best thing for our families on our own. No two families are the same.
Yep. And that's why we said things have to, like this, have to be taken on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
Because Kente brought up a good point. You can date somebody, and this person could be a really bad person. He could or she could have issues with molestation and violence and things like that, attachment issues. And when you're dating somebody, from the very beginning, from the jump, or a thug.
Nice.
And that's a whole different thing. Cause that's a whole different thing. I've seen, but here's the thing though. I know people who are street, like dudes that are street, but they will provide, protect, care for their kids, regardless.
They still have some standards that they have. Some people do.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that. What kind do you mean? Ooh. What kind do you mean, Kente?
He said a thug. He said a bad thug.
A bad thug. Okay. Like a bad thug. All right.
Someone that probably someone that doesn't have good morals. But yeah. That's the thing. If we're going to be dating, we have to look at ourselves first, right? So mm-hmm. who are we really meeting up with? Or why are we doing these things? If it's a bad thug, a gangster, or whatever, why mm-hmm. are we even connecting ourselves with these type of individuals if we want to set a great example for our children? So I think before we go in, we got to figure out, what kind of example, what the outcome is going to be for our children. Because if you're dating someone that cannot be trusted with your kids, or they're a thug and they're not setting good examples, then that's what you're expecting your children to learn from that experience. And is that someone that you want to allow your children to develop a relationship with?
Yeah. I do want to talk about this. If I can, it's the same, along the topic, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Dating somebody with kids and they aren't the custodial parent, and they don't take care of their kid. All right. Is that a red flag, or is that like an opportunity to say, hey, they may not take care of their kids, but they'll take care of mine?
I think it's a red flag.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think at that point, at that point, you have to decide, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to accept? And I find it funny because there was a thought. If you have someone let's just take it for instance. You have someone that has children and their children live in somewhere else. And then you live in across the state somewhere else and your children not living with you. But you're going to create a whole nother family with another person. What does that really say about your love for your children if you're not really having your children in your life, Not even talking about financially supporting them, but you're not even really willing to even put your children in the same home or support them in a way where they feel like they're part of that same family unit. I just disagree with these children are not asking to be in this world. So as parents, we hear it all the time. We hear about, they started over and they got another family over here, and then your children are over here, your biological children over here, and you barely even interact with your biological children.
Yeah.
How do you think those children are viewing you from afar, right?
Yeah. And some of these people aren't even concerned when they go into relationships. Like, it's not it's not embarrassing. Like, I couldn't date somebody and say, well, I see my kids once a month, maybe. I don't really pay child support because, I'm not working, and it's not that I don't want to work. I do want to work, but if I do go to work, then she's going to take all my money for child support, and I can't have that, But baby, I love you. Let's do this. No. We got to wisen up too. There's some evident red flags.
Exactly.
When it comes to dating somebody, and if they are not taking care of their kids or not seeing their kids, please, 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 for your sanity, run. Like, run fast away. Don't let your heart fall for this person. Please.
I like what Shannon said. She said, failed relationship doesn't equate to failed parenting. It's wrong.
Yeah. Yep. True story. 3 years ago, I was asked to speak at a Head Start in Brooklyn. This particular year, they had a lot of issues with different parents who were fighting with one another. They were no longer together, but it became hostile. Several times they got into, there were physical altercations in the center. And of course they had to call the cops and stuff like that, but they wanted to try to do something about it. So they asked me to come and do a co-parenting workshop. And I tell you, we had the realest conversation. Like, when I mean real, it was real, it was raw. I had parents in the comment area cursing and all that stuff. But it was like, you know, and there was kids like in the next room. But they had some stuff that they needed to let out. They had some stuff that they needed the other person to hear. And I swear, I felt like Tony Robbins for a moment. I'm letting them talk to each other. And when they got rude, I would stop and say, you know, it was one guy. I swore he was like a killer. I said, you need to stop and listen. He was like, what? I said, you need to stop and listen. My heart started to thump. I was like, we're about to brawl in here. But it was absolutely real. And a lot of the frustration was, it was child support. It was not being able to freely see the child that they're paying child support for.
Right.
And it was also having other people come into the child's life that they didn't approve of. Mm-hmm. And we were able to talk about it and have like real meaningful conversation. And it was maybe, I want to say about maybe 30 parents there. And out of the 30 parents, I think about maybe 12 of them, it was six parenting couples that were hostile toward one another. And I think the center told them that if they don't come to this workshop, they will not be able to bring their child back. So they wind up coming. I went there the next year to do the same workshop. Two of those couples developed a great relationship. And one of those couples, they weren't together, but they were there and they were part of the parent committee together.
That's good.
You know, now there's a lot of drama when it comes to breaking up. There's a lot of drama when it comes to having a child and not liking the person that you had a child with. And one of the things I told them in this workshop, and I'll tell you this to you guys, at one point you did like each other. How do we know that? Because there's a child walking around right now. So even if you were feeling each other for just 6.5 minutes, you guys were feeling each other, literally and figuratively. Yeah. All right. And a child is a product of it. So at one point you guys were feeling each other some way or the other. So you guys got to get past whatever it is that caused hurt and look at what's beneficial for the child. What's beneficial for the child. And every year now they ask me to come back and do the same workshop. It's a little bit different now because it seemed like what happened in the first one residually started to affect all the other parents. Mm-hmm. So I come in and I expect, you know, yeah, let's get this Tony Robbins on. And they're all talking to each other and encouraging one another. And I'm sitting back like, I don't know if they need me anymore.
Right.
You know? Which is a good thing. Hey, for some people who are into it, 6 minutes is a whole lot of time, Kente. Don't judge. All right.
Yes, that's good. I want to ask you about, you know, when we're talking about children, when is the best time for them to meet this other person?
That's up to the couple. I don't really wait. And for me, like, I wouldn't wait too long. My kids are a little older, and my kids are a good judge of character. So they'll tell me, yeah, dad, nah. You know, and then I'm like, bet, I got you, you know. But it all depends. If your child is not ready for you to date, I wouldn't recommend bringing them around for a long time. You know, I think to warm them up. And social media is a good thing about that. The good thing about social media is this. You guys could be able to communicate while you're together, not just talking on the phone, but FaceTiming, and allow the kids to see that type of interaction first. Mm-hmm. Again, this is, again, optional. Allow them to see that interaction first. Let them see how they make you feel, how that person makes you feel. And hopefully that'll warm them up a little bit and say, wow, okay, mommy is happy. Maybe this guy, or this woman isn't all that bad. You know, well, that's the whole point of the conversation too, Jada. Every situation is different and should be handled differently. Like, for instance, if somebody was to come and ask us a question, we may answer it totally different than the way another person will come on and ask the question. It all depends on their situation.
Exactly. You know?
Like me and my kids are older. They would tell me that, you know, she's cool, but she's not the one. Mm-hmm. Let's say if my kids were under 10, I'm not going to ask them for their advice. Not like that. It wouldn't happen.
I like what Steph said. She said, I have to see if this guy is serious. Before, I would say that before I would introduce my kids to a man significant. I feel like I would have to go through a period of really knowing if he's even worthy of meeting my children. And meaning that
I like that. Like, if they're not worthy of meeting your children, if they don't, they haven't proved that, don't.
Why would you, right? So I just feel like every situation is different, because it may be someone that you've already known for years and your children just never met. So you got to take every situation just accordingly. Every situation is not the same for everybody. But let's see.
Steph brought up a good point, right? My son losing his dad might be prone to becoming attached.
Right.
That's a great example. Right. And that's unique to your son. You're absolutely right. I would not bring, because they risk becoming hot, untrusting of men.
Exactly.
Untrusting of men. And if I may, and sometimes I'll bring in my own experience. I grew up without my father. I didn't know my father, and I met him for the first time when I was 30. And I got attached to a lot of the men that my mother dated. You know, I was really attached to my uncle, because he was like the one consistent person there, but he couldn't always be there because he has his own life. And I would get attached to men, and then they would just all of a sudden disappear. True story. And this is not knock on my mom. There was a guy that she dated when I was really young, and I really thought he was like my biological father. And they broke up. And after they broke up, I remember asking where he was, and she told me, I'm not even allowed to say his name anymore. For 3 years, I thought that name was a curse. I would not say his name. Would not. I would know kids with the same name and would not say this man's name or the kid's name, because I wasn't allowed to say the name. And I would get attached. So I could absolutely see that happening, especially if they either lost a father. Mm-hmm. I didn't lose my father. Well, I did, but I didn't know him at all. But especially when they lose him to a serious case like death, I think that's a very wise thing, Social Steph, to go into it very delicately, very slowly, and make sure that this person is genuine, is serious about you, and wants to be a positive addition to your family.
I like that word, positive addition to your
family. Yeah, because then there's negative additions too.
Yeah.
And make sure that they're secure in themselves, because you don't want to get involved with an insecure person, because then they're going to compete with your child for your affection and your attention. Shanita wrote, I kind of agree with not waiting too long. He would have to be a potential husband first and foremost, but I wouldn't waste a year dating and falling in love for me to introduce them. And it's a disaster. True.
Yeah, I think that you can put that in a separate bucket when you talk about not dating a year. You know, I think that there's a period where you already should be able to determine if this person that you're in you're dating is if they even are marriage material.
Yeah.
So you don't have to really spin your wheels wasting so much time trying to figure it out. I think that that's a whole nother conversation. But when it comes to your children, you probably should have already gotten to a place where you're saying, hey, I'm ready. I want a serious relationship. And this is the person that I'm wanting to be in a relationship with. So they should be someone that's worthy of meeting your children at this point.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
There may be times when you have people that don't. They just date. They're just dating, and they don't want to be married. So maybe we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
They just date.
And if that's what they want, I mean, I wouldn't recommend it for somebody that has kids. They may just want to have fun too. I don't know. If there's a guy or a woman that don't have kids and they just want to have fun, I wouldn't recommend it if you're looking for something a little bit more deeper, a little bit more intimate. You're looking for a connection with somebody, because people are looking to date for fun and just to be around people. They're not looking for anything too deep.
But what about the people, the women that don't, or the men that don't want to remarry? They just want to have someone that they're dating, but they don't want to be in a serious relationship.
That's got to be discussed in the very beginning of the interaction. If they're kids, you got to discuss how would our kids be involved in this,
right?
And again, like I'm a little different. Like I have, there's friends, mm-hmm. right? that, and I can have friends that there are no benefits to, mm-hmm. and that's okay. We can hang out, you know, meet, talk, discuss deep things of life. But there's, you know, we enjoying each other's company without bringing complications into it, such as physical interactions. That's one thing. Right. And that's absolutely possible. You know, you don't need to be dating somebody and to have a great connection or a great interaction with somebody. So, but again, I think this falls on my values, right. and what I believe. So, again, everybody is different. And as for me, I wouldn't just, if I'm not in a place where I want to be in a serious relationship, I'm probably not going to date with the other person thinking that I want to be in a serious relationship. I would keep it up front and say, I'm not looking for anything serious. We can hang out, maybe go catch a movie sometime, get some coffee or whatever, but nothing too crazy, nothing too serious.
It's kind of difficult for the kids, though.
Yeah, it could be difficult for the kids.
It can be very. The reason why I brought that to attention, because I knew some ladies that were having this type of relationship. They didn't want to remarry. They had been divorced, but they were in relationships with other people.
Yeah.
They did not want to marry, but they had children. And I'm thinking, like, how is this affecting your children? And how do you how do you work this together if you know that this is somebody that's just going to be in your life? And I know that people have friendships all the time, but this is just somebody that's going to be in your life. And you know that you don't want to have a marriage relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to be there. How that would affect the children.
Yeah. Well, if the kids don't know about it, then that's one thing.
Well, they do. In this situation, the children knew about it. So how can you, you don't think about how these things affect your children. They see mom with this man, but this man is not mom's husband, nor is he ever going to be mom's husband. Mom has made it clear, I'm not ready to marry. He just got out of here.
And stop referring to these men and women as uncles and aunties, because that messes them up too. Like, wait, relax here, mommy. Wasn't he uncle?
Right.
Like,
and then they find themselves having so many uncles, and it just goes on and on. And just like, you go through all these phases of relationships with people, and your children just meeting all these different people. And I just
stay away from the uncles and auntie. Well, can I drive in the parking lot and bring this out?
Bring it out.
About the kids? All right, I'm bringing it out, guys. Kids, right? Now, I think this is what I parking lot, right? The kids and not being ready and how they could make things difficult. Is that what? I think that's what it was, right?
Was that?
So that's what it was, like kids making it difficult to date.
Yeah.
Okay. And how I mentioned before that some kids will never accept the other person or the person that you're dating. They'll grow up into adulthood and will never accept that person. And that's a conversation that needs to be had as well, because it will cause a strain in the relationship. Will it kill a relationship? May not necessarily kill a relationship. If you both go into it together with the understanding and the knowledge, knowing that the kids may never accept the other person, that's okay. Like Steph says, I never accepted my stepfather fully. And that's got to be something that you're willing to do. My mom married him when you was 8. Yeah, so sometimes that happens. That happens. I'm not sure of the dynamic of their relationship now. But in the process, you got to understand that children will be children. And if there's trauma involved, because whenever there's a separation of parents, there's trauma involved. My son never saw me and his mother together, right? Never. She was he was a year and a half when she left, so he has no memories. But it was still traumatic for him, and he still feels it.
Right.
He would love to have experiences that his brothers had, you know, when me and his mother was together. And I get that. That's traumatic, you know. So they people have traumatic experiences. Mom and dad separating, traumatic for children, and when dad is around and mom is around and they really want their mom and dad to be together, they may not fully accept it. And I'm not saying that's your case, Steph, but that's the case of a lot of children. They just want mom and dad together, and they don't want to accept anybody else. And that can go into adulthood. The conversation has to be had in their relationship. Oh, she said, I just didn't like him. Okay.
That's something totally different.
Yeah, a conversation has to be had. Well, listen, my children may never like you. Is that okay? I'm going to love you. I'm going to support you. Is that okay? Even though my children will never like you, will you love, protect, and provide for them as if they were your children anyway? It's got to be real conversations. Jay says on Facebook, she was that kid. She was that kid. And you got to be willing to do that. And again, let's say for argument's sake, my girlfriend, my kids never accepted her. But we had a great relationship, and I could tell that although my kids didn't like her, she was going to be a positive mother figure to them, mm-hmm. that would help me with them, and we can, you know, grow together, right? If I am confident that even though they don't like her, she will always treat them with respect and care for them, I wouldn't let the fact that they don't like her be the deterrent from us getting married. I won't let that solely. All right. I love my kids. I'm thankful that they would really accept anyone that would make me happy. But they would also tell me, yeah, this person is not really the one for you. So maybe you just keep it as a friend, Dad. Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. So, but you got to have conversation. You got to have communication about it. And, cause again, kids may try to even ruin it. They may, falsely accuse, and you got to have a real conversation, because if the kids aren't on board with it, it could be a very difficult place for both the mother and the father, or the stepfather or the stepmother, the dad, to be in.
I think that's when you call a family meeting. You need a family, yep. meeting. Mm-hmm. You have these children that are not accepting, and it's not because they don't, it's not necessarily because it's something wrong or something the other person has done to them. It just be the fact that they're just not willing to accept mom and dad being separate, and some kids have that jealousy tendencies. They don't want to see mom or dad with somebody else. They just want the family unit together. So yep. It's just something you gotta do. Gotta do it. Gotta have those family conversations. Not just with you and your kids, but you, your kids, and a significant other. Every person, I think that every individual that has played a major role in the child's life, I think everybody needs to sit down and have a conversation, whether it's the grandparents, the great-grandparents. If all of these people have a positive influence over these kids, like, I think everybody needs to get down to the root and just have conversations to support these kids the way the kids need to be supported. That's just my
opinion. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to end the conversation. What should we do?
Well, I think we're going to have to end it.
Shannon says a few more minutes. Parents need to facilitate the acceptance. No. Yeah, because it's just a good conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it really, we can go 15 more minutes over. All right. Maybe. But we'll allow it 15 more minutes over. I think that, thank you, Steph. And Steph, I do want to say thank you for being open about your situation, because not a lot of people are. And, you know, when we're not open about what we have gone through, what we're going through, a lot of times we don't get healing from it. Mm-hmm. We hide it. And when we hide it, it becomes compressed. And then it starts to decay. When it starts to decay in the midst of compacted emotions,
right.
That decay will start decaying everything else around it. It starts spoiling everything else around it. So when you let it out, it's no longer underneath the mounds of emotions, and you're able to heal from it. So I do appreciate you being open in this discussion. I appreciate it.
So, you know, Dre, let me ask you this. When we talk about just being open with our children and having these conversations with our kids about dating What type of conversation do we need to have? Do we need to talk about? I mean, what do we really need to be saying to our children?
When we start to date, I would start off with, so what do you think about your father dating again? Mm-hmm. How would that make you feel? You know, they'll say, I'm not ready. They can say, go for it, Dad. You know, we need a woman in this house. It's been 10 years. you know, like they can say things like that. But I think just being open with them. I don't think that there's an age limit to have it as well. Yeah. Like just, you know, I mean, if they can understand, then have a conversation with them. If they get it, 7-year-old too. If they're 7 and they understand, yeah, talk to them about it. And again, each child is different. So I wouldn't say like one specific age. You know your child, you know their maturity level. Exactly. So you can have a nice mature conversation, age appropriate conversation with your child about you putting yourself out there again in the dating pool.
There's I think that, yeah. You know, even like with the age, a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, like you said, you know your child, because some 7-year-olds are way more mature than some other 7-year-olds. So like you're saying that you just really need to know your child. What can your child, how much information can your child hold, first of all? And, you know, what are you willing to allow them, you know, to kind of mold them to be prepared and able to carry this burden, to know that, hey, you know, this is happening and mommy's going to be needing. You're going to start seeing someone different around the house. I think that they really need to understand that. And then, you know, not only doing that, but you start seeing them in a more of a role where, hey, they're really close to mommy, you know, or daddy, you know. I see them holding hands, and you know, it's just the age of the children, depending on that age limit. So you really need to just kind of delve deep and make them understand that, hey, this is not just a friend, like they just come and we, like Uncle Sam, but this is somebody that mom loves and mom cares for. And I want you to love them the same. So we need to have that heartfelt conversation about that deep connection, the love and understanding that this is not just a friendship. This is somebody that mommy's wanting to create a future around, and they're going to be someone that's going to be in your life all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How would you relate? how would I relate to somebody? Like if somebody had kids, I would definitely have to talk to them first about all of that, and if they have kids, and see what they felt. One thing that people shouldn't do is push themselves on somebody else's kids, because again, you don't know where the kids are, you don't know how they feel, and you definitely have to take the guidance of the mother, or if you're a woman and the guy you're dating has kids, the guidance of the father, to see when is the best time to, you know, develop a close relationship. But definitely don't push yourself on anybody's kids. Then at that point, then I would have to say, why are you so, like, you know, pushy? Like, then I would have to, then those Chester vibes, Kente, will probably kick in. Then I'm going to be like, yeah, I can't trust you. Like, you want to be around my kids way too much. I don't think this is a healthy situation.
Right,
yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Give it back.
All right. So I think that someone said, can we date Dre? Well, congratulations, Dre. So I would like to say that we have enjoyed this conversation with you all. We appreciate you all for joining us here on the Togetherness podcast. Keep coming, inviting your friends and allowing them to come and join us and ask questions. And even if you have questions before the show that you just want us to address, Dre is going to open up with his how you can connect with him, and then I will do the same. So if you have questions for the next podcast, just submit us submit us an email or something, and we'll answer your questions live here if you don't want to join us live.
All right. So if you want to connect with me, you can do so on Instagram by following me at Andre_D_Harrison. On Twitter, at Andre D. Harrison, on Facebook at Andre, at the.andre.d.harrison. I also have a YouTube channel with me and my kids. It's Harrison Family Vlogs. If you do a search on YouTube.com, search Harrison Family Vlogs. I don't have a lot of subscribers, but it's been growing in this past couple of months. So if you guys want, help me grow my YouTube family by going to YouTube.com, searching Harrison Family Vlogs, and subscribing and clicking the bell notification. I will be posting a video up tomorrow about my DNA, heritage, ethnicity, all that stuff. I'm not saying anything. Before we recorded the show, I gave people a little bit of a preview. But if you guys want to see my ethnic makeup, you got to go on YouTube.com, search Harrison Family Vlogs, click the subscribe button and the bell notification. It'll notify you when I upload that video. Yes, it's going to be fun. My kids are in it too. They were shocked as well. They were shocked as well.
Cool. Well, my name is Albany Riggins, and I can be found on Facebook at Albany Riggins Relationship Coach. And then also on Instagram at Albany Riggins. You can find me on my website at albanyriggins.com. If you would like to email me for some support or ask questions about how you can connect with me for coaching services, you can send me an email at support@albanyriggins.com. And I also have where I do coaching services. If you want to do a coaching session with me at for couples, it's bit.ly/coachingforcouples. So I hope to see you all on the next podcast. I'm going to do episode number 19, and we will be putting that information out.
Yeah, we're not going to meet next week then.
Next week.
We're not going to meet next week. It'll be the week after.
The week after.
So, yeah, we're taking a little bit of a break just for 1 week. And then,
But this is something I wanted to say also to you guys. If you all have specific topics that you all would like for us to talk about, send us some emails, send us some information to let us know what kind of conversations you would like for us to have here on the podcast. I think that's really good for us to be able to open it up to hear from you all, to understand what your needs are as well. Yes, pass it along to your friends. Word of mouth is great. Also, connect with us on Facebook and share on the Facebook and the Instagram if you're on the Instagram as well. Yes. Those are steps that emotional unavailability. Okay. Yes, you are. So, all right. Is there anything else, Dre, you want to share?
Oh, no. I'm good. Thank you so much for everybody watching. Shanita, Jay, everybody on Facebook who commented. We have so Steph, Kente, Shannon, Jada, LA, a few others. Brad was in the room and a few others that was in the room. Thank you guys so much. You guys make this worthwhile.
Yes.
We thank you so much for watching, and we really, really, really appreciate you guys so much. I do want to announce also tomorrow there will be a Get Vocal town hall meeting on Get Vocal, but I think they're going to be announcing changes, positive changes to the Get Vocal format. So make sure you guys tune into that.
All right. Well, we will see you all on the next podcast week after next. So that's going to be what date, Dre? I think we need to give them the date.
It's going to be, I'm going to tell them right now, okay. It'll be the 25th.
The 25th, you guys.
The 25th.
So join us then. We'll see you all on the next podcast.
All right.
Bye. Thank you all.
Later.